soon. Did the fullback bring him down? First time, maybe even second time. Still we go on. Juric has dribbled his way clear.
Welcome to the Round Ball Project, episode number 9. It is our K-League special, and hopefully we'll be into two parts. We've got Peter Hampshire from K-League United on one of the, I think, the English-based K-League publication. Is that right?
Well, it's Korea-based. We're all based around
like
Korea.
English, as in English, it's like in English. Is that what I mean?
Oh, all right. Yeah, it's the English language. We're the official partner of the K-League for English content. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. So what is your role specifically in K-League United?
So weekly, I cover Gwangju, who just got promoted to the top division. And also when the national team are playing, I help out with that as well.
Oh, it's fantastic. So how did you find yourself to arrive in Korea in the first place? And, you know, how is the lifestyle there compared to England, obviously?
I'm a Barnsley fan back in the UK. So the football is a bit different, but at least my team aren't bottom of the league. I saw them win a championship last season. I came to Korea in 2014 as an English teacher, and lived in Busan, who have also just been promoted, and went to games there, but more of a socializing aspect back then. I was just on the beers, enjoying the football. And then I left, went back to England, did a sports journalism degree, and came back to Korea a couple of years ago and got involved with the K-League United boys.
So how many journalists do you have within K-League United, and what's like the work environment there? Obviously, you've got journalists across the country. So how does that sort of work in like a collaborative environment?
Yeah, so we've got a great spread around the country. There's not many in the southwest where I am. I'm a bit isolated down here in the countryside. We've got Ryan, who's the lead editor, and then two more editors, and then we've got about I'd say 12 other writers that cover different teams. We've covered nearly all the teams now. There's a couple, for example, like Sangju, where there tends to be no English speakers. You know, there's a lot of us are English teachers in our spare time, the day job. So it tends to be where you get more English teachers in the bigger cities, you get more writers.
Yes. And obviously South Korea in Australia was very focused on, we can't play Asian Champions League football because they've obviously got a lockdown situation in China and South Korea. Obviously it's been about 2 months since then, 2-3 months. And how is the lockdown situation currently in South Korea?
Yeah, so the town I live in, we never really had a lockdown because it's a really small town. And the same in Seoul, to be fair. It was only really Daegu that had a lockdown, per se, in Korea. It was looking really good until last week. And that's why the K-League started back. We had a few days with zero local infections. They were all just caught at the airport. And then last weekend, we've had another, I wouldn't call it a second wave, but a significant amount of infections coming out of Seoul. So, but hopefully, with all the testing and the protocol that's put in place at the K-League, the football won't be affected too much and we can carry on.
You mentioned just now the protocols. I saw some interviews that you made at the first game of the round, of the season, actually. But so what are some of the current protocols that are in place at K-League games?
Yeah, so I went to the opener on Friday night, John Book against Suwon Blue Wings. And even as journalists, we had to have temperature checks going into the ground and stand 2 meters apart on entry. Journalists also had to sit on separate desks, which you can usually squash up if you're from the same organization, but not this time, separate desks and 2 meters apart. In terms of the players, separate water bottles, temperature checks on entry, and they came out of the tunnel separately, and also no handshakes before kickoff. Another one which is quite hard to enforce was the the speaking aspect on the pitch. They tried
to hear about that. That was a very
discouraged speaking, but but I think it's just natural, isn't it, to in a game when you're going up for a header, you're going to shout. So honest, that didn't really change much. I heard there was a lot of speaking just in close proximity. I think the ref had a quiet word.
Yeah.
Say if some player went down for an injury and they put a hand out to get pulled back up, the referee was like, "Oh, not today, not today."
Yellow
son.
Card. Yellow
Gotta
card.
Get up on your own accord. But within the first overall, week, I think it worked quite well overall, the measures, and it seemed to go without a hitch.
That's fantastic. I mean, obviously, with the what's it like with all the new exposure coming in from? I think you've got 17 countries who have purchased rights to the K-League, including Australia. Optusport purchased rights last week, and they're broadcasting a couple of games per week. I'm not sponsored by them, but I do give it a shout. But how was it? Obviously, with the more media interviews that you guys would be getting, understandably, because many it's sort of unknown what the K-League is to these Europeans who are craving for football. So, how was it like to get all these eyes on the league?
Yeah, so we helped run the Twitter account for the official K-League, and they had 3.4 million viewers on their Twitter live stream on Friday night.
And who was commentating? Our very own Simon Hill. Yes.
Yeah, it was Simon Hill, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
So that was just strange to see those kind of numbers. We were watching it rise as it became closer to kickoff time. Like, wow, this is going to be big. It does feel strange. The K-League websites had an increase in 600% of readership.
Whoa.
Over the last week.
Crazy.
And, you know, on an average week last season, our previews for games, especially my team that I cover, weren't getting the thousands of views they are now. So it has been strange, but it's been enjoyable, obviously, because we've loved this league for a few years. A lot of us have been here for, you know, 5 years or so. We've been advocates of the league, of its quality, and it's good to see it getting some recognition, even if it's not people's first choice. They've kind of been forced into it because their own leagues aren't in action, but
yeah,
it's been great to see.
Obviously, that's fantastic to see, and hopefully we'll see it grow even more in the coming weeks. Hopefully the Bundesliga resumption will not trump that so much, but we'll definitely see Bundesliga preview out tomorrow as well.
Yeah, you can see. Project. I'm not sure if you can see my video of me, but behind me I've got the Korean flag on one side and the German flag on the other.
There'll is that coincidence or
a conflict of interest? Yeah, it is a coincidence. Yeah.
Yeah. But obviously, the K-League United, I think they've got a partnership with Football Nation Radio, I wouldn't say employer, but I do a bit of work for them. So how did that partnership sort of come about?
Well, you'd have to ask Ryan Walters, the chief editor, I think. But I listen to Football Nation Radio, yeah. And I think just because it's an Asian league, isn't it? Our teams cross over a lot in the Asian Champions League, as they did in February.
Mm.
So I'm not sure how it originally came about, that collaboration, but
yeah,
I think it's interesting. Lot of people in Korea have started watching the A-League now as well because of the free YouTube. It's good on a Friday night to come home from work.
I was overseas in like China and Israel about a year and a half ago, and I did see those live streams. So they did get a little bit of traction, which was good to see. But obviously, but in terms of your exposure to Australian football, obviously you said you've listened to Football Nation Radio, but besides, I guess, the ACL, what's your knowledge of Australian football currently?
So my best friend actually lives in Melbourne. He's a Melbourne Victory fan, so I've kind of adopted them as my team just for that reason.
You picked the right team.
Yeah, pick the right team. That Ole Toivonen looks like a beast. I could do with him seeing him in the K-League at Gwangju.
Yeah.
Like I said, if it's free on YouTube, I'll watch it because it's a perfect timing when I come home from work on a Friday. So I always stick the Friday game on. And I think the leagues are similar levels, you know, similar amount of teams in both leagues.
Definitely.
It's they've got similar vibes to them.
Really? So I guess I did see, sorry to interrupt, I did see something about how Daegu, they got a new stadium. Actually, Victory had a Asian Champions League tie against them last season. And there's obviously intense debate within Australia about the size of our stadiums. And, you know, a lot of us are playing on purpose-built cricket stadiums and like such as Etihad Stadium, well, that the Australian Football League stadiums as well, but they've got like the same structure as a cricket stadium. So, with that boutique stadium model that's sort of beginning to be implemented within Korea, do you think that's the way that Australian football should be going?
Yeah, I went to the Daegu's first game at their new stadium and a couple times since, and it is amazing. In their old stadium, it was like a vast cavern of a ground where they got 3,000 or 4,000 attending. Now it's a 12,000 seater stadium and they're filling it most weeks. If you turn up at the ground just before kickoff, you can't get a ticket, which is, it's not the case at any other Korean league grounds. It's really caught people's imagination. And it's also more central in the city, which is the main factor, I think. And they had a really good season. And you just mentioned when they played Melbourne Victory. I think that helped as well. They've got Cezinha, who scored against Victory.
Oh, yeah.
And I noticed you've got Rashid Mahatsi on the podcast as well.
Hopefully that will come through.
if he is, Mahatsi came up against Cezinha and marked him out of the game on a Saturday. I think it was Saturday.
I did hear about that. So obviously, there are many Australians currently in the K-League. The recent... most recent player would be Brandon O'Neill from Sydney FC. Obviously, we know all the Australians, but give us some insight into, I guess, the teams that they play for, how they've fared in the recent seasons. I think Taggart was the top goal scorer for the Suwon Blue Wings last season. Terry Antonis, I think he played all right. I'm not entirely sure, but I'll let you go with it.
Yeah, so Suwon Blue Wings, where Taggart and Antonis both play, and they both played on Friday night, although Antonis did get sent off for a bit of a nasty challenge. They played Suwon Blue Wings, who had quite a poor season for their standards last year, but they saved it by winning the FA Cup, which means they'll be in the Champions League this year. Like you said, Taggart got 20 goals, and he was basically the standout striker in the league. I wouldn't say he's all-round game was that spectacular. It was just a poacher in the box and a great finisher. And Antonis, he was only here for 11 or so games at the end of last season, but him and Taggart had a great understanding just after a few games. There was a match at the Daegu Stadium where he whipped in a perfect ball over the Daegu defender's head and Taggart knocked it in. Elsewhere, like you said, you've got Brandon O'Neill, who was an unused sub on the weekend. Maybe he's just not match fit yet. And then Mahatsi at Incheon United. And Incheon, they always finish one place above the relegation zone. So hopefully he can inspire them to do a bit more this season.
And sorry to interrupt. I did see that there were some rumours that he was being wanted by other K-League clubs at the back end of last season. Apparently performed really well. Was any truth to that? Or was it? Is that just all
not,
paper
not that I heard, no. Not that
fair
I
enough.
Have.
Just very Australian centric. His story is really inspiring as well. We'll get into that later. Jason Davidson next.
Yeah, the left back at Ulsan, and it looks like they're going to have a great season this year. They smashed Sangju, who were pretty fancied to do well this season. They beat them 4-0 on the opening day. So they could be real title contenders. I don't know if people saw last year, they threw it away in the final weeks.
Oh no!
And they let Jeonbuk win the league when really they deserve to win it. So this could be their year this time around.
For sure.
I think Davidson could get some silverware.
We'd hope so for our Australian contingent overseas. But it tends to be like that. The players that do get that do sign in Korea tend to be sort of the upper echelon of Australian standard. I mean, Mahazi, I guess, to an extent. But definitely Davidson. Taggart was really good for the Brisbane Roar in the A-League before the K-League started last season. But Antonis was a standout for victory. He was brilliant. And so is it just the money factor that plays into why these Korean clubs are able to afford these, you know, pretty talented Australian based footballers?
Yeah, so there's a cap on how many foreign imports each K-League club
Much
can
like
have.
Australia.
Yeah, so, and I think they do get afforded a fair wage when they come over here. So there might be a slight financial aspect, but I think it's a good league as well. Korean clubs always get far in the Asian Champions League. So it offers that potential. And a few players have moved on to the Chinese Super League, which is obviously offers even more money
much more lucrative. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, obviously we are Australian-based fans, but not many of us would be acclimatized to the K-League. So could you give us some insight on who are the teams to look out for this season? And, you know, just from your interest?
Yeah, so your perennial winners over the last few years have been Jeonbuk, which is actually... I actually live in the city closest to their stadium.
Yeah, Alex Wilkinson's football club.
Yeah, that's the one. The kind of people are getting a bit tired, I think, of watching them just collect the trophies every year. So it was nice to see Jason Davidson's new club, Ulsan, challenge them. The year before in 2018, they won the league by a landslide. It was 20 points, which is a bit embarrassing for the league, really. elsewhere, you've got Gangwon are going to be interesting this season. I read a stat about their game against Seoul at the weekend that they had something like 630 passes, which is higher than every British club's average, apart from Liverpool and Man City. Obviously, that's just one game, but their manager, Kim Byung-soo, the Korean press love calling it Byung-soo ball because of the style of play, just keeping the possession, knocking it round, a bit of tiki-taka. So they're a good team to look out for. You got the capital club, FC Seoul. They're a bit of it's a bit of a Leeds United kind of scenario. Like, every other team's fans hate them and they don't care kind of job. But it's good for any tourists coming to Korea. It's right slap bang in the middle of Seoul. Beautiful stadium, to be fair. But I'm not a fan. My team, Gwangju, I've got to give them a shout out. Another team that are building a new stadium. They've got Felipe up front, who looks like he could really do some damage in the league this year.
That's
and also,
great.
Obviously, yes. One okay. aspect of the K-League, which is quite rare, is we've got the military team in the top division.
Yeah, I did see about that.
Yeah. For the final year this time, because they're getting automatic relegation, even if they finish second.
And how come that's the case?
Because their team, the military team, which boasts all the players on the compulsory 22-month military service, is moving cities and they're becoming... Sangju is becoming... a local team, and the military team is going to be in a new city, which they haven't decided yet. So it's a bit of a shame because they've got a great squad this year, but they can't use it.
We did see Sun Heung-min, those visions of him in the mandatory service. Yes,
that's not going to happen, unfortunately. But it'd be great. Yeah. It'd be great for the league's global outreach if it did, but unfortunately not.
Obviously, I think he finished in the top five of that 157 man. I don't even know how it is. Like,
The award. There was no way he wasn't going to get that award. they give it to
diligent.
Five.
Like, he seems to be a very staunch believer in the. In the
craft. He always comes back for the national team games, even if it's just a boring friendly.
Yeah, obviously. There's many stories. Sport Bible, like, they eat that. They eat those stories. They'll post them anyway. Anything to do with Sun Heung-min and Korea, they'll just take that to the grave. But obviously, any players besides the Australians that us as A-League fans could look out for? On Optusport.
Yeah, the man who scored the winner on Friday night is the 41-year-old ex-Middlesbrough striker. Yes. Yeah, Lee Dong-guk. And it's amazing that he keeps going. Every year they say this is going to be his last year. And then he signs just a one-year contract towards the end of the season. He came off the bench and he lost all the defenders from this corner and just nodded it in. And you're thinking, is that what it takes? We have to bring on 41-year-olds to see a goal. So that, I was almost disappointed that it was him that scored the goal. Yeah. The best player in the league for me would be Cesinha, who scored that goal at Victory. The Brazilian at Daegu in the midfield. He is just fantastic, and I'm surprised they kept hold of him.
Are there any sort of Korean-based players that we can get behind?
Yeah, there's Kim Bo-kyung, who just signed, the MVP last season at Ulsan Hyundai. He's just signed for Jeonbuk in their midfield. He was at, where was he? He was at Wigan in the past. Lee Chung-young, who also played in the Premier League, has just signed for Ulsan Hyundai this winter on the wing at Ulsan. Cho Hyun-woo, you remember when Korea beat Germany 2-0 at the World Cup?
Yes.
Ulsan's goalkeeper Cho Hyun-woo was the man.
He was the hero. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, a great goalkeeper, and I'm also surprised.
I think he played against Victory. I can't remember it was.
Yeah, he will have done. Yep. Yeah, he was Daegu's number one choice until he transferred over the winter. Yeah.
Yes. And obviously, your prediction for the K-League champions.
Well, before the season, I put Jeonbuk again, which I think would be their seventh title in 8 years.
Yikes.
It was broken.
Yeah.
Broken one season by FC Seoul. But after watching the opening games, and I'm not a fan of the Jeonbuk manager personally. Well, nothing personal, just his history at my old team, Barnsley. So, I don't know. I'm swaying towards Ulsan. I think it will be between those two. If there's going to be a surprise package, it's going to be Gangwon, I think. Who, interestingly, don't have any. I think they've got one Japanese player, but apart from that, it's a full Korean intriguing. Squad.
Very intriguing. Yes.
They've not chosen to go for any foreign options.
You've seen, the Australian teams have not fared well in the Champions League. It's the traditional, ever since the unbelievable Western Sydney Wanderers campaign in 2014. It's sort of just dipped off since then. No teams have really made an impact in the knockout stages. I think Victory played against Jeonbuk in the round of 16 a couple of years back, from memory. I think it was Archie Thompson's last game. But obviously this season, Sydney FC have played against Jeonbuk, and there was a 2-2 draw with Kyo Won with that 89th bit of a goal, and Victory lost against FC Seoul. I believe earlier in the campaign as well, but why?
At that game, yeah.
Yeah. How come the Australians just aren't the teams aren't able to find success? Besides, obviously, the money factor. Do you think it's got something to do with the climate, with the playing styles against these Korean teams?
Yeah, I do think that other nations around Asia do estimate how physical the Korean league is. I think we get stereotyped sometimes of like playing nice, neat passes, but it is a physical league that does attract some of the best talent. If you look at the national team for Korea, a lot of them still play in the K-League.
And you've got so many amazing players abroad as well, which is something that Australia clinically lacks. Would you say it's a golden generation in Korea at the moment?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I'm supposed to be the Korean national team correspondent. I should big them up, but
the classic Australian notion is that 2006 was our golden generation. We're never going to get anything past that with Mark Viduka, Harry Kewell.
All right, yeah,
and those guys, Tim Cahill. But you know, with Son Heung-min and a lot of those players who were playing top flight football in the various European leagues. I'm having a really hard time against them in Football Manager as well, but yeah.
Anyway. Right. I do think in about 5 years, maybe, because you'll have Son Heung-min, who is going to be in his, about 30 or a bit older. It'll be still going at a World Cup level. And then Korea have had some really good results on the world stage, like the Under-20 World Cup, the Under-23 Asian Championships. And there's players like Lee Dong-joon at Busan. And so many good talents at a young level. So maybe in about 5 years, we'll see them And I'm disappointed that the Tokyo Olympics aren't going ahead because I fancy them for a medal at that as well.
I mean, next year they'll go ahead, and hopefully Australia can also do pretty well in that, because I think in the semi-finals of that Asian Championship, Australia did lose against the Korean side, which was a bit unfortunate. But we still made the Olympics, so we can't complain.
Yeah, some revenge for the Asian Cup in 2015.
Yes. Oh, God, that night was amazing. Amazing evening. I think it was James Tracy who scored. That's actually the intro for our podcast. The James Chatchan.
All right, nice.
Against Korea. I just didn't realize that just until now. Well, I knew it. Obviously, I knew. I just didn't like the connection. Anyway. But I guess the last thing we'll finish on. With the sort of promotion relegation, not sure how much attention you paid to that within Australia, but do you believe the right time for Australia to sort of implement that? We don't even have a national second division. That's, well, I guess it's within our state bodies. So we have like Victoria, New South Wales. They have their own respective Premier Leagues. So you got the A-League, which is the top division, and all these state leagues. So do you think it's time for Australia to implement a second division? And how have you seen that sort of second division body within Korea, like boost the playing level of those of the Koreans?
Yeah, good timing for that question, because they've in the last year they've opened up the lower leagues. I mean, so in Korea you've got the top two leagues, and then they've not opened that up yet. You can't get relegated from K-League 2 at the minute, but they're planning to in the future. So we should have a similar system to the UK, where there's going to be seven divisions, and hopefully in a couple of years you could see one team fall all the way from the top to the bottom, or vice versa. So yeah, I'm a big fan of ProRel. I know it's a big debate over in Australia, and I don't see why you wouldn't do it, because it just makes the season more interesting for a longer time. And the relationship between the two leagues in Korea is usually the 12th place team gets automatically relegated and the champions of the K2 automatically promoted. And then the K2 have a playoff system between second, third, and fourth. Whoever wins that plays 11th in the K-League 1 as kind of a relegation promotion decider. It's a lot like the Scottish Premier League kind of system.
Yeah.
And I think it works. Yeah, and I'm glad to see that they're opening it up.
Yeah, I guess that's really good. I just forgot. I think Nick Ansel's playing in for Zionum. I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Oh, yeah.
The Dragons and it's K-League 2. Sorry, we forgot him. But I don't even know how he's doing. I haven't paid attention since he left.
There's Connor Chapman at Daejeon as well.
Yes, Yes, that's right as well. Apparently, he was a very solid player at his Pohang. Prior club.
Pohang.
Before he moved to West United in the A-League. So.
Yeah, he was. And I think it was a big coup to sign him for Daejeon, especially because they're in the second division. I don't think anyone expected that.
I guess it's a lot of money. It's all not all money. It's just a little bit of this. But out of all the Australians that we mentioned, who do you think will be the best one out of all of them?
This season? I'm very excited to see what Brandon O'Neill is going to do at Pohang Steelers. It's a shame he didn't get off the bench on the weekend. That can only be because
people are concerned.
They were winning
that
the game comfortably, people are
pretty concerned because he was a standout performer at Sydney FC, and it was really a tough loss for them to lose him. Because like Sydney FC, they're the equivalent of, I wouldn't even know how to make a comparison. I said Juventus, let's say that, because they're just at the moment they're like locked in the most players for the most years. They're very consistent across the board. Victory is sort of in a bit of a slump at the moment, a little bit. Toivonen looking like he's going to leave, and many other players looking like they're going to leave as well. But you go.
I was going to say, I'd go for Brandon O'Neill ahead of, I guess the obvious choice would be Adam Taggart, seeing as he scored 20 goals last season. But the Suwon manager who Adam Taggart plays for, he's not the most liked, and I think a lot of people thought he should have left the job last season, and they could be in for a struggle this year. So I'd go for Brandon O'Neill.
Hot take there. The new signing from Sydney FC, playing in the kit for Pohan that really resembles the Western Sydney Wanderers, which are the Sydney FC's arch rivals, which is could come to bite you in the future. But we'll see. We'll definitely see.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to see any Barnsley legends playing in a kit similar to Sheffield Wednesday. That's
I think there's an Australian player for Barnsley. It's Kenny Dougal. Is that right?
Oh yeah, Kenny Dougal. He couldn't get in the team this season, which was
no. I heard he couldn't. Nah.
Surprising for a lot of Barnsley fans because we're shocking this year.
Yeah. I heard you're near bottom of the championship, which is not great. Or bottom. I have no clue. I don't really follow the championship. Leeds are doing tremendously well. And I kind of want Leeds to get promoted just to see that Roses derby against United.
Yeah.
Brilliant to see. But when can we see you in Australia next time? Obviously, once this virus has subsided a little bit.
Yeah, so as I said, my best friend lives in Melbourne. So I will be back next year. And it's also another friend's wedding in April. So I'll be down in Melbourne next April. Hopefully, is the season on then? Hopefully catch a game.
Yeah, unless I haven't. Yeah. Well, yeah, it will be. It definitely will be. Yeah. Maybe finals, depends when you're there. If it's like early April, probably be regular season. If it's late April, be finals. Victory should be playing in the finals, considering that we've had a shocking season this season. Been completely woeful. Manager got sacked, and we sacked a couple of players as well during the season, which is a bit unfortunate. But hopefully with intra-club transfers able to be exercised soon, that could be rectified a little bit.
I'm a big fan of Kenny Atu, so I've got to come I've got to come see the man in the flesh.
He is. I've done some press for FNR at the Asian Champions League, and he was something else. But his performances have been scrutinized by the Victory team. But I just have this by the Victory fans. Sorry, but I have this like inner feeling. I want him to do well. I really do. To see NPL players do well in the A-League is the best feeling.
I just love how they throw him on with 10 minutes to go and it's like, come on, Kenny. Come on. Get the equaliser.
He has brought some funny moments and some brilliant moments, but his strike rate isn't too great. But hopefully he will improve like every football player entering his isolation period. Hopefully the A-League will get up and running soon. But we've got the K-League to entertain us. So I'm up to sport every weekend. And I think, I'm not sure how many more live streams I'll do on YouTube, but we'll definitely see. Thank you, Peter, for coming on today.
Thank you. You've got this weekend, you've got Ulsan, Jason Davis' team against Suwon Blue Wings to look forward to. So look out for that one. And thanks for having me.
Viewer's choice. From the man himself. And what game will you be attending this weekend?
So I was planning to go to Daegu against Pohang on Saturday and Daejeon against somebody on Sunday. But there's been a case of coronavirus in my town, so I've been told by work that I've got to quarantine until Monday. So this weekend I'll be watching from the sofa and just doing some social media stuff for K-League United.
Brilliant. And last thing, how's the food in the media box, if there is any?
There is, but last weekend there wasn't. It's fine. It's just a packed lunch kind of job with some rice, a bit of kimchi. Oh,
that's much better.
And a bit of meat on the side.
That's really good. That's really good compared to I've only been to one game, but I think we got like sausage rolls and stuff. It wasn't really like a whole packed lunch, you know?
Oh, don't say that. I'd kill for a sausage roll right now.
Thanks, Peter. We'll definitely stay in touch. We'll see how the K-League transpires this season.
Yeah, thank you, Neil. Speak to you again soon.
All right.